Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. You're tuned in to Dr. Youngblood as we look at the issues facing each of us and or the church today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. May I simply say to you that the Word of God should be the first, foremost, and final authority of any issue that we deal with. And may I remind us also, you can join in this dialogue and discussion simply by dialing 401-1413. Your dialing 401-1413 gets you right through to the studios, right to the microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion together. We're talking about an issue today that we had begun on the earlier part of this week and had not completed it, and had several people that were interested in a complete study on the subject. And we talked about the subject of the progressive church today. And the question was asked then, are you in a progressive church? I simply want to ask the question today, are you in a biblical church? Are you in a biblical church? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the dialogue and discussion, may I remind us that Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then the Lord Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we seek for truth. Let me remind you, the Word of God is the source book. It's not just a place you can go for some truth or partial truth, but it's all truth, total truth. And anything regarding political, government, the church, the home, theological, doctrinal, biblical, sound doctrine, we can go to the Word of God, and God's Word gives us the answer for the issues we're faced with. Before we get into the monologue today, let me remind you, Sunday's coming. I want to invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. We've had the delight and the joy of meeting a number of you on the air. We'd love to have you in the congregation worshiping with us on Sunday. You can find us at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We're exactly 1 mile south of I-295. If you're coming in from the 95 corridor, we're exactly 3.5 miles north of 95, 1 mile south of 295, right in the heart of Mandarin, First Conservative Baptist Church. We still preach and teach the old-fashioned gospel. We believe that the Word of God ought to be exegeted, not eisegeted. That means we're to look into it and see what God says and not what I think God says, but what does God's Word say? And we are delighted that we still maintain the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And we also have with our music program, ladies and gentlemen, God-honoring gospel music. Music where you can hear the words and allow the words to speak to your heart and not be concerned about the beat of the music more than you can hear the words of the music. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us, we're inviting you to come and worship with us. 10:45 on Sunday morning is the worship hour. 9:30 on Sunday morning is the Bible study hour. And then on 7 o'clock on Sunday afternoons is the evening worship. Yes, we still have evening worship services in our church. We'd love to have you join us for any one of those time frames and sit with us, hear the Word of God, and allow God to speak to your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we need to be concerned about the church that we're in. Now, I'm not trying to draw you here. That's not the point. But the point is that this is a warning sign, a warning broadcast for all that's listening. And I pray that as you listen, that you're saved, that you've been blood bought, Bible saved, born again. I pray that you've said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. But the only way you can grow, we can grow, after we said yes to Christ, is by the study of His Word, to honor Him through His Word, to allow His Word to speak to our hearts and develop our lives and be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway, which is what the Scripture says it should be. But ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with me that God's Word, the Bible, should be our guide into all truth regarding morals and ethics and values and doctrines and theological truth? The Word of God should be the guide. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Scripture says this, and I'll use this as the benchmark for what I'm going to say today on this broadcast. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Scripture says, all Scripture, A-L-L, it's not a qualified all, it means all. That means from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. All Scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration, the Greek text, literally means the breathed out breath of God. So if you put it in the young blood vernacular, all Scripture is the breathed out breath of God put in print on paper. And is profitable, beneficial for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof, that means bringing conviction, for correction, for instruction, that means being cultivated in the Word, in righteousness, that means right living. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16. Yet in today's modern, liberated, don't tell me what to do or what to say mindset of society, we have those who are called Christians. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question, what does it mean? We're called Christians, and they're members of so-called Christian churches. Perhaps you're listening. Perhaps you're listening today. I want you to understand that when you listen to what I'm saying, ask the question, am I in a biblical church? Am I in a biblical church? Are you in a biblical church? Now, most of the churches claim to be Christian, claim to be saved, say that you're in a Christian church. But are you in a biblical church? Because you see, society today embraces, even those that are Christians, multitudes in the Christian church, as it's called today, will embrace the following: homosexuals and sodomite lifestyle, abortion, the use of pot and other substances, those that say hell is not a real place, those that say Satan is just a myth, some that say good works is what will get you to heaven. Some will teach you that social justice, that is, feminism and the embrace of abortion and other things, are really what you should believe today as a Christian. The Bible must be updated, some say, to meet societal norms. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian church, the Bible church, is to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, convict through the Word of God, confront sin through the Word of God, and seek to know God through Jesus Christ. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Morning. Yeah, I agree with you. However, I just wanted to have a brief discussion. I believe the Scriptures are authoritative, and God has preserved them the way He wanted us to have them today. The great Isaiah scroll, 21 or 22 foot long, was about 1,000 years earlier than the Masoretic text, and it hardly any changes, just in some minor points. However, do you believe in your statement of faith, if you have one for the seminary, that the Scriptures are infallible, authoritative, and inerrant in their original autographs? How do you subscribe? Do you subscribe to that or not?
Absolutely, absolutely. Anything less than that would be disingenuous with the Word of God. And we say in the original autographs now, there ought to be a caveat to anybody that makes that statement. I understand the statement. We stand on that statement. The Bible is inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative in every fact and portion of the Word of God. And in the original autographs, we can add as a statement. However, there's not but about 5,800 partial pieces of original autographs, with the exception of the Isaiah scrolls of 1949 found in the Qumran caves, all in total intact. But when we say that, we're being a little bit disingenuous with ourselves and with others, because no one has the original autographs in their hands. We have the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God put in print, just as John was told on the Isle of Patmos when God showed him the past, present, and future. He said, write. It's the little Greek word grapho, that means put ink on paper so that what I'm telling you will be preserved for future generations and for thousands and thousands of years to come. So yes, that is a statement, but and it's a true statement, but we need to have a little caveat and a little clarification on that statement.
So by a caveat or a qualification on that statement, are you saying, if I'm hearing correctly, that the translations we have today are inspired, authoritative, inerrant, and infallible?
I am saying that, in general speaking, there's some good things that's been done in some of the translations. But I prefer, I'm not a King James only, I prefer the King James text because it has greater context and content from the original sources as being, yes, infallible, inspired, and inerrant. It's God's breath. If we start denigrating with that, then there's the argument. Just as I had a dear lady on one occasion when I was presenting the plan of salvation to lead her to faith in Christ, she said, well, that's what your Bible says. Maybe a translation that says something different. You see what it does to the average mind, to the weaker Christian in particular, when we start playing with the terms in its original autograph.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree. Most Christians have no idea what we're talking about now. So that and so you don't want to offend them, but yet you want to be true to the word, and it's a difficult subject. I had another point I was going to make, and I forgot. I guess I'm getting old. Thank you.
Thanks so much, and God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question, are you in a biblical church? The church that you're in, is it a biblical? I understand you will sit and listen on Sunday. Pastor will open the Bible and read a verse or two. He'll make a statement or two, and you say, well, my pastor preaches out of the Bible. But is he true to the Word of God? Is it true to what God's Word is saying in context? I tell my students in the hermeneutics class in the college, there are five things that's important in Bible study. It's context, 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 context. If it's a text out of context, it's a pretext and should be never should be used for a text. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there are those that will say the Bible should not be considered as literal. There are others that say the Ten Commandments are not applicable to the Christian today. Some will say evolution is fact and creationism is fable, etc., etc. So what about the new Christianity today? What about the progressive Christian church today? What are some of those recognizable signs and indications that you today, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. What are some of the indicators today that you need to be aware of that you may be in a non-Christian, unorthodox biblical church? A non-Christian, unorthodox, so-called biblical church. And what are these churches teaching? What are they saying? In fact, I read a brief little portion of this article early in this week. Let me just read you the little blurb again. And this article written by a dear lady says, several years ago, my husband and I began attending a local evangelical, non-denominational. By the way, I don't mind telling you, I am gravely bothered, greatly agitated with the term non-denominational church. Once a non-denominational church has two locations, it becomes a denomination. That denominational name might be non-denominational, but it sounds so intriguing that it means, oh, they don't. And if you hear the term non-denominational, in my mind, it's saying they don't have standards. They don't have absolutes. They don't have solid biblical doctrine. They don't have a statement of faith of what they believe. But this lady says she was in a local evangelical non-denominational church, and she said, we loved it. We cherished the sense of community we found among the loving and authentic people that met there. They were intelligent and outside the box. Listen to that statement, outside the box. Let me just pause for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. What does it mean to be outside the box? If you've got the Word of God, aren't you boxed in based on what the Word of God says? Or do we need to be outside of the box of what God's Word teaches and what God's Word says? And she said, the pastor who led our flock, he was outside the box with thought-provoking and insightful sermons. Sadly, the church started going off the rails theologically, and after about a year and a half, we made a difficult decision to leave. Today, the church is self-titled, listen, Progressive Christian Community Church. Progressive Christian Community Church. What in the world does it mean to be a progressive Christian today? What does it mean in the circles of politics to be progressive? Well, in political circles, the word progressive means that you're loose, lax, lost, liberal. The word progressive means that we are, if you please, going into the realm of socialism when it comes to the political agenda today. And there are a lot of folks that are now progressive. By the way, you go back and research that within the realm of political agenda. They stopped calling themselves liberals or moderates back in the late 80s and changed to the term progressive because it has an intriguing sound that they're ahead of the game, they're ahead of others, it's progressive. Here's an article that gives the description, by the way, or the identification of a progressive Christian or progressive Christianity. Progressive Christianity is a post-liberal movement within Christianity. It seeks to reform the faith via the insights of postmodernism and reclaiming of the truth beyond verifiable historical and factual passages in the Bible by affirming the truth within the stories that are not that have may not have actually happened. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying here are stories in the Bible. They're myths, they're fables, they're not facts. They may not have happened, but they're just placed there for us to learn and study from. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be more derogatory to the Word of God than that. In fact, this article further says, progressive Christianity represents a postmodern theological approach and is something that is not necessarily synonymous with progressive politics, end quote. It goes further to say it's developed out of the liberal Christianity of the modern era, which was rooted in the Enlightenment thinking. And it goes on to talk about the characteristics of the progressive Christian, willingness to question tradition, willingness to accept human diversity, willing to accept strong emphasis on social justice. Social justice, ladies and gentlemen, is coming out of liberation theology. Social justice embraces sodomite lifestyle. Social justice embraces pot to be used by whomever desires. Social justice is the embracing of what would be called liberal theology today. Social justice embraces abortion on demand. And I could go on and on and on. Social justice says we need to take care of the poor, we need to take care of the hungry, we need to take care of the homeless, and that becomes the issue rather than the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. In fact, within the progressive Christian movement today, love one another, John 15:17, is the sounding of all of those in the progressive movement today. We need to love each other. If you're sodomite, we just love you. You can come on in. You can still love Jesus. If you're involved in the fundamentals of error in your life and it's contrary to the Word of God, you may disagree with theological doctrinal soundness and truth of the Scripture, but we're going to love you anyway. We're not going to ever confront sin. We're just going to keep on loving you. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize and understand this new Christianity, something that may remind us, or some of those that recognize, we need to recognize the indications. We need to recognize the facts of what is unorthodox. Remember, the Bible warns us that for the time will come when they will not endure, that is, tolerate, put up with sound doctrine. That's talking about healthy, correct, true, solid doctrine. But after their own lust, carnal craving desires, shall they heap, that means to accumulate to themselves, teachers, that's talking about pastors and preachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That is, they'll turn away their ears from the Word of God. Jesus says, thy word is truth, in John 17:17, and shall be turned, that is twisted away, unto fables, mythos, fiction, not facts, but myths. That means lies. That's found in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture says the Apostle Paul was told to preach the word, caruso, herald the word. The Apostle Paul was not told to just go talk about social issues, but to herald, to preach, to communicate the word. Because the time will come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. That time has arrived, ladies and gentlemen, when people are rejecting sound doctrine. Most of these progressive emergent church, the liberal social gospel churches, they simply want their ears tickled. They simply want to be entertained. In fact, one of the major theses and the themes of the modern church today is we do not want the starched and stilted theological doctrinal teachings. We want to be entertained. We want to be entertained. This is the reason some of the churches then, perhaps yours has been doing that, will have some major entertainer come. He might be a wrestler, a golfer. He might be some gigantic Hollywood star, but claims he's saved. And he'll come and put on his performance on the platform, and that takes the whole service, and there's no gospel preaching. It's because people are wanting to be entertained today. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. Your first caller really set up this entire discussion today in a wonderful way, and I wanted to just follow on with a couple of comments. Thank you for taking the call. The first issue is that what your caller actually asked without asking it really is, what do you believe? What do you believe? And every person who calls himself a Christian has to deal with that issue on Sunday nights in a class in your church. People are asking three questions beginning at 6 p.m. The first is, do you believe? Most people have to confront that issue that Peter confronted when he was asked by the Lord, do you love me, Peter? And three times he said, yes, I do. And finally he got the intent of the message by saying, yes, I do, help my unbelief. Do you believe? The second issue then is, what do you believe? Because a lot of people, after saying, I believe, realize, well, maybe they're not believing exactly what the Lord said they ought to believe or should believe. And the third question that we ask is, does the Spirit of God reside within you? Three important questions that have bearing on this progressive movement. I said that to make this point, that the only way that we know whether we believe or not is having read the Word of God entirely. There are three things Jesus said that are extremely important, the most important of the commandments. Is first is to love God. The second is to love your fellow man. But if you go back to the first one, love God, there's two more parts to that. You must know His Word. You must teach that diligently to your children, because Jesus was referring to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8 when He said, here are the two most important commandments. Now, that said, every person has to come to the point in their life, and you articulated this so well in your response, what is it that we stand upon? And you said, well, you don't necessarily hold that the King James Version is absolutely the only thing, but for you, for where you stand, that is your point of beginning for reading the Word of God, because it has that scholarship that was collected there by old King James to answer some questions as to Scripture itself, produced a document that has really stood the test of time. It is, for our generation, the reference document we need to use. So that is where we begin our process of faith, after we confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. What do we believe? And you said, what I believe is based on the inerrancy of the Word of God as you defined it. And you chose to say, as I do, we use the King James Version. But here is the point. All we are doing today, and I'm speaking an opinion here, you certainly feel free to correct me, and I know you will. We are going through a 20th-century process of finally trying to evolve the Gnosticism that tried to destroy the first-century church. It's really rooted or suggested by two verses in Proverbs, the 14th and 16th chapter. There is a way that seems right to man, the ends of which are the ways of death. Gnosticism, man's knowledge of things substituted for God, and making the two sexes pretty much equal, is what Satan has been trying to do across the ages. Today we call it progressivism, progressive theology. That's just another word for sin and compromise. God's Word does not change, and I strongly suggest that people who listen go back and ask those three questions. What do I believe? Do I really believe the one thing no one can say except by the Spirit of God? Jesus Christ is Lord. Salvation is by Him and Him alone. What do I use as my foundation to learn about Him? Well, in our case, you and I agree, we ought to use the King James Version because it's the closest to the original autographs, which in fact are infallible, inerrant, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, to be able to stand firmly, as you do, God bless you, against the error, this incessant error of trying to convert the Word and the way into, and every man does what's right in his own eyes. That is progressivism, and progressivism is sin, and it leads to Satan. And right now, in our world, we have evolved the end result of Gnosticism, which is called the Church of Laodicea. And if people will turn to the end of the third chapter of Revelation, they will see very clearly that Jesus condemns that church. God bless you for what you're saying and doing. I agree. It's inerrant. The progressive church is wrong. We must stand against it. And everybody has to ask that question, what do I believe? God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right. One of the things that we find is that everybody has a way that seems right to himself, but it is not necessarily following the Word of God. We need to be very, very careful with that. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question, are you in a biblical church? Is the church that you're in a true biblical church? Is it orthodox? That means, does it follow the doctrinal teachings of the Word of God? The church that you're in, do they view the Scripture as being infallible, inerrant? In the church that you're in, is it viewed that what is said in the Scripture is factual and not just fake or fictitious in some fashion? Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, if there is a person that is, when we're born physically, we're hungry for food. And if we're fed the bottle with water and not milk, we're not being fed, therefore there won't be any growth and development. And ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest today, we have a lot of immature, those that are illiterate, those that are anemic, those that are not fed on the milk of the Word of God, and therefore there's not any growth and development, no knowledge of the Word, and therefore there's easy prey for the false teachers to come in. In our modern society, ladies and gentlemen, we have the progressive emergent church. Now, back in 2006 and following, it was called the emergent church. Just been very recently that has been twisted and turned and called the progressive church. The emergent church, some of those tenets in the emergent church, and I've taught this as a full semester course in the university for some years now. And let me just give you a little brief blurb of the introductory thoughts on the emergent church, which is today's progressive church. The Bible, the Word of God, is being assaulted as never before. Satan is on the move. Biblical truths are being replaced by a different Jesus, a non-reality of hell, and a diluted eschatology. The emergent church leaders are introducing New Age and mystical Mideastern cultic practices in the church and calling it Christianity for our times. The Bible has no literal meaning in the emergent church, in the progressive church, and it's accepted as a mystical with no absolutes in the Word of God. Sin and salvation are ideas of the past and not really relevant today. Something like Andy Stanley has said in relationship to the challenge and the question about the Scripture, where Andy Stanley says, the Ten Commandments are not relevant today. We must believe science over the Bible when it comes to evolution versus creationism. Andy Stanley says we must unhitch from the Old Testament. The Bible needs to be updated, he says. God's Word of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament are two different gods, Andy Stanley says. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the emergent church, the progressive church, is doing. And yet you find 34,000 supposed members of Andy Stanley's church. Is that the kind of church you're in? Is the church you're in considered the church of excitement, where everything's based on excitement and thrills and trips and snow skiing and so forth and so on? Are you learning the Word of God? I like to ask the question when I'm in dialogue and discussion with someone on the subject of the church that you're in. Picture if you're in the same church for the next 40 years with what you're learning from the pulpit. Can you project that at the end of 40 years that you could say, I know the Bible. I have studied the Word of God. I have been taught the Word of God. Unfortunately, that simply does not take place. Further, in my introductory remarks on the lecture notes on the emergent church, the progressive church, this is very, very clear. Part of the emergent church's ideology and its teaching is that the kingdom has come to earth and the believer is to simply make the world a better place to live, fight poverty and fight sickness and save the planet. That's nothing but social justice. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the predominantly young participants in this movement would rather have presentations based on personal experience rather than on biblical absolutes and biblical exposition. The progressive church rejects any absolute and says the present church, the biblical church, has not made worship relevant for the modern worshiper. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the essence of what's happening today. And I challenge you today, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. I challenge you, if you're in a church where the Bible is not viewed as the final authority, you're in a progressive church. If you're in a church where feelings rather than facts are emphasized, you're in an emergent church, a progressive church. If you're in a church where the biblical doctrines become open for debate, open for discussion, open for reinterpretation, you're simply in the progressive church. If you're in a church, ladies and gentlemen, where historical biblical terms are reinterpreted, terms like biblical inspiration, terms like biblical infallibility of the Scripture, inerrancy of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, if you're in a church where the facts are questioned about what the Word of God says, ladies and gentlemen, be very, very careful. You're in a progressive church. It's not a biblical church. It's not a Christian church. You need to get into a church where you can study the Word, learn the Word, inculcate the Word of God in your life, and allow the Word of God to be a lamp unto your pathway and a light unto your feet every day. It's my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a challenge to you to study and determine what kind of church you're in. Is it a biblical church or is it a progressive church? Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.